an information diagnostic report as well as the 2030 vision. Why I'm raising the issue of the diagnostic report is because we did not have the opportunity to listen to the department. And we were expected as the committee to have a session with the department in last year to get a sense how do they feel, what are their views in terms of the report, and so on. what are their views in terms of the National Planning Commission report. But we don't regret, because we believe that that report also assisted them to link it to the plan that has been developed by the department. So today at least we are expecting them to touch what are the issues raised in the diagnostic report, and then what are the issues raised in the 2030 vision, how do they link them, and then how do they make sure that some of those issues are being addressed appropriately. So that is the presentation that we are going to receive today. I must say, because we are in a process of budget vote debate, so we were also expecting the department to present the fourth quarter report, expenditure report, so that when we debate, we must have all the information. But unfortunately, they have not yet completed the process. So they have requested that they would come next week to present that report. And the members will also recall that we requested the department to also present the progress on the expenditure of the on the national priorities. We recall that during the budget vote, the minister announced that the manner he has divided the grant is according to 80-20%. So the 20% remains within the ministry in ensuring that the national projects are being pulled out. So we are also going to receive that report next week. So it means today we have got one item, if I'm not mistaken, which is this National Planning Commission report. So that means, members, it's a pressure on yourself. After this meeting, we have to sort that, because we are debating on the 9th, and next Wednesday is the 2nd of May. So it means we need to ensure that we adopt the departmental strat plan. We need to ensure that we adopt our strat plan report next week, so that it gets to the ATC. At the same time, we need to meet with the minister to brief the committee on his approach, strategic approach, what are the key issues to budget vote. And that's the Malungu Abigile. Kodwa ke amalunga abekekileyo saphakamisa izandla sathi we are available. I'm available for each member is going to work this time. We affirmed that we are available. So next week, let's sort our house to make sure that all these issues are being attended to, because we won't have any other time to meet. Because come the 17th, members have to prepare their budget speech. With those viewers, I welcome you, honorable members. So now I think it's Yamba, Puma Abbas, Yakui, long weekend. So this is sorting out those things. How are we going to show what this is going to some questions by next week? I thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. It looks as if it's a bumper week. You talked of the first quarter report, the national priorities. First quarter report, the national priorities, departmental stress plan, our stress plan, the minister's meeting, and the rental housing bill as well. So, and you've got only Wednesday. Thursday is caucuses, obviously. So you've got only one day, Wednesday, and that's it. So how are we going to juggle around all this? Unless we don't attend the PEPC next week, and then we have a meeting from 9 until 6.
Chairperson, thank you. I would just like to know why the department is not ready with the quarterly report, the fourth quarterly report. Are they not ready, or because that was important for us to have it today. It is part of the program, and I think it is actually unacceptable because it's the fourth quarter, it's the last quarter, and that is what the debate is all about, to see whether the department has actually been able to accomplish the targets that's been set for the whole financial year. So I do want to express actually my disappointment that we as the committee now have to press for time. That is no problem. I mean, we're all dedicated. However, I just feel that I would like to know what are the reasons for the department not having the last quarterly report here today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Can we have an explanation now?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, apologies, as indicated yesterday. We have got a draft, as I've indicated. We have got a draft. The complexity around the whole issue is that the fourth quarter came to an end on the 31st of March. And in respect of the figures that we have, those are preliminary figures, and as we've indicated previously, there's a 21-day period which between ourselves, Treasury, as well as the provinces to finalize those figures. And that's been the context, particularly within. So the figures the reports that we can present would be preliminary, and the fact of the matter is that there's verification processes that we're undertaking in relation to that. That's the key issue.
That's the response. But I think I don't want us to debate this one, but let us give the department the homework to say. If our systems are appropriate, I don't think all especially these days we talk of technology. Now when I hear that class of students, I'm not saying pass, bala, we would say so. But I would urge the department to jack up on this matter. Because not going to be difficult by the end of the quarter to capture all these issues. So we are just getting, because now we can say now we can't move, and we have to. We can't go to the debate without the information. And now this is putting us under tremendous pressure as a member. We don't know how we're going to fix this, but we have to try and fix it. But we really ask that next time it must not happen. Make sure that you make your reconcile every month, because you produce monthly reports to the National Treasury. So I don't find that it could be so difficult within this 21 days. Because I think now we have called to at the end of the month, 21 days already, after 7 days after 21 days. So try your best. Some fail and get in a month. So this is not much that we are requesting from you. Not much. What are the comments?
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to belabor the point, except to say, we are due to receive this at our meeting next Wednesday. Can we please have an undertaking that we do not get it on Tuesday? We need to have that in good time so that we can scrutinise it properly, and especially in view of all the other reports, it's going to be critical for us to be able to do these things fairly quickly, otherwise we're not going to get through our programme.
Well, in terms of what they are supposed to be doing, they have to make sure that we receive those documents tomorrow. The public posted Friday, Monday we are not here, Tuesday we are not here. It's a public posted. So that is why we have got this pressure. Otherwise, if it was not a public holiday on Tuesday, we would come and have a meeting even in the evening. But now, we have got this long weekend, so it does affect us. So if we can try and make sure that we receive those documents before 12 o'clock, because I think you are trying to fine-tune them. So if we can receive them before 12 o'clock, so that members, when they leave after the debate, because there is a debate tomorrow, freedom. Freedom day. It's cancelled. Okay, members will receive through their emails. So once the document arrives, copies will be circulated through their emails. I start with Arafara and now my email address. And now my email address is one of Tora Naja. Okay, thank you very much. Let's proceed.
Thanks, Chair. As I've indicated to you, we commit to have the documents before you. As I've indicated, the drafts are prepared, which is where you find the information. I don't want to belabor the point. I think the committee is aware of the fact around one of the issues around statistics and the veracity and the correctness of that. And we've indicated, notwithstanding the ability to do that, there's a verification process that takes place. And that does create a difficulty for us. But you will get the documents. Thank you, Chair. Chair, in respect of the National Development Plan, or the draft National Development Plan, the committee will be aware that in respect of the national diagnostic that was released during the course of November, it was 7th of November last year, it's important for us to just contextualize that. In the period leading up to that, there's been a substantial amount of work within the presidency, within ourselves as the department, together with the Treasury as well. And the department, together with the presidency and the Treasury, in conjunction with the information that was flowing from the National Planning Commission, undertook a process to be able to respond proactively, not reactively, to the give us an indication of what the purpose of the presentation, the background to the evaluations, the overview of the evaluations, progress thus far, and the recommendations. Okay. The purpose of the presentation, to inform the portfolio about the human settlements evaluations, to inform the portfolio about the forthcoming cabinet presentation and announcement by the president on the evaluations, and to request the portfolio to note progress, and portfolio might want to sort of indicate further issues that you want to clarity or substantiation on. The national evaluation policy is based on the diagnostics of inter alia the National Planning Commission, as well as the various interactions and identified weaknesses the government has in evaluation. I think the point here is that we need to understand, and I think it's a point that we keep on having to remind ourselves. Over the last 18 years, there's a substantial amount of work. The National Planning Commission, in many respects, represents a consolidation, but also the vision of that. And in relation to that, I think we must be mindful of the fact that there's a substantial amount of work that happened, and the Planning Commission response to that work and what has not been done and what hasn't worked. What the evaluation policy does, it's a framework for monitoring the outcomes, institutional performance, monitoring, and frontline service delivery monitoring. It also allows for concrete research and evaluation on what works, what does not, why, and what measures and interventions are to be undertaken. And that's the important point. So in respect of the five issues that get raised, our ask is, and it's the point that was made last week, we must be careful that we don't respond to issues, be it from wherever, including the National Planning Commission, and we don't have a concrete, rational basis to respond to say, so if someone says the policy is not working, then I think we're asking ourselves, so what about the policy doesn't work? It's not because I drive past an informal settlement or an area and I find the fact that people are not having, or there's no formal town planning schemes. And this is what the research does. The National Evaluation Policy Framework was approved by Cabinet on the 23rd of November. So you'll see there was that coordination and there was that work that was done. And this Dr. Sokopo will indicate some of the other issues here around it. It's a framework for monitoring of outcomes, institutional performance, monitoring, and frontline service delivery, as we've indicated. And a government evaluation plan for 2012, 2013 has also been published. Okay. Chair, I'll just ask Dr. Sokopo to take us further in relation to some of the processes around the rationale for the evaluation and further on the issues and how they impact on certain other issues. Thank you.
Before
you
should
ask
that, I would suggest that those five areas, they need to have, because we are requested to give us the diagnostic reports. Because we cannot just jump, take a leap to the last part of it. Because we were supposed, I have indicated earlier on that, we need to understand the diagnostic report first. What does it say? So that we are able to swim together well, CAB National Development Plan. Now, we cannot just jump CAB National Development Plan. We need to have an understanding, all of us, both the Parliament as well as the Department, what are the issues. And then we discuss them. And then here are the issues. How are we going to address them? And then you say, we are addressing them. It's long. Anus child choice. But I mean, you only tell them is an ayo, Sano yes. If an ayo city go down to the roots, what is the problem that has been identified by the National Planning Commission? Because the Planning Commission has been given a mandate with my diagnostic report. So now the offices that is a diagnostic report, but we don't want to take them for granted. So if an official is all the song, the melan, no. Here are the issues. So what are the, I'm going to allow to proceed, but it's still for discussion. I suppose we should hear that. Because we will not be doing justice to Parliament if us is all present. Then, but I will allow you to continue. Another comment?
Thank you, Chair, for raising that. I think that's critically important. I wonder if we could just, for the time being, obviously we can't go back to, you know, filling in, but can we just go back to those 5 points? You raced through them like that, and I've got a few words down. So just so that we can write them down and we've got some focus as to where we're going now.
Yeah.
Those that you read out there now.
Chair, I fully support your sentiment. For me, this looks like an academic thesis document. It doesn't focus on those 5 key areas, and I think that is what we requested. Let us have those 5 key diagnostic issues that have been raised that are relevant to us and interact on them. Frankly, we should be doing the fourth quarter or some stress plan rather than be doing this. It's a waste of time.
No, I would say let's not jump to the conclusions the waste of time. But how they thought about it. But I insisted to say we need to have a discussion on this diagnostic report, because I don't think it was a mistake for what you could develop this report. That report is as much as when we play our oversight, what are the witnesses that has been identified by the National Planning Commission within the department. So, I know, it's just open. Yes, you are by the public, because that is a public document. But if Tina, as Parliament, the Portfolio Committee, we are not given an opportunity to discuss that report, it's a problem. If the department denies us the opportunity to discuss that report is a problem, because it's a public document. So we would appreciate if we are given the opportunity to say, there's the document, here are the issues therein, and then the department is confirmed, because you, as you are saying, you need to do a scientific research. Well, fine, to defend yourself, but bring the report and then we discuss it, and then out of your research, upon who was defend upon what has those two in the National Planning Commission, they are not true. And then you raise your points and then we discuss them. And then as people who are doing the oversight, we will also be saying, no, this is true. We are not certain about this one. This one is true. So we need to be honest. We need to be transparent. Honest is a point of which is okay. We have been working with you. Non-transparent. There is no transparency in this discussion document. We need to be transparent. See, now we were transparent. We told him what in the bio because of Omoka, the event settlement who compromised the Iran. Some of the point blank is still at the committee, are not going to budge on that one. So, it's fully transparent so that we move. can you just list them, those issues for us? Repeat was repeating, and then, but we still have to engage on this one. Listen, because we have to produce a report to the office of the speaker. We don't have that report to the office of the speaker that speaks to the diagnostic report. But there's a lot of the past, okay, so that nothing says that. Lay development plan, put television. That's what it says about the link, here are the issues. Then the department is planning to address these issues. Then this is a comprehensive report to the office of the speaker. I think we are the only one about another report. But we are still giving you an opportunity.
Very visibly, and therefore, I think my
by the Planning Commission. because I think they are interlinked when you come and say that.
Thanks, Chairman. I apologize if there was a sort of lack of understanding. But this was what the initial one was in relation to that. So it was just a conclusion. So I'll just go out of here and get to the...
and the the evaluation center that we have selected, it juggles between diagnostic, design, implementation, and impact evaluation. So the department then of human settlements in collaboration then with the So I'm saying that the evaluations that we have selected, it's a combination of diagnostic, design, and implementation, and impact evaluation. For example, we have selected to evaluate the urban settlement, the implementation of the urban settlement development grant. As you know, that it's only 1 year in implementation. So what we are going to be looking at is how has it been implemented in the first year of implementation. So we want to find out, follow up, are there any changes in the way people are doing things in terms of implementation, and what are the things that we can change to strengthen the implementation in the implementation of that grant. However, in terms of IRDP, which is the Integrated Residential Settlement Program, which you know that was conceptualized in 2006, what we are looking at is the outcomes and impact of that program, and whether we can use the lessons of that program then to develop, to respond to issues around sustainability, because the diagnostic report is clear about that our settlements are not sustainable. So what are the things that we can do to ensure that our settlements are sustainable? Also, the report goes back and says that and suggest that we can retrofit, meaning that even in the existing settlements, there's something that we can do to ensure that the settlements are sustainable. So in order for us to learn what are the things that we need to do, we then decided that we need to focus on these integrated residential development programs, because they were conceptualized through BNG, as you know, that it was the attempting to promote the sustainable human settlements. So the question is, were we able to succeed in promoting sustainable human settlements through those programs? And if we have, what are the lessons that we can learn so that we can transpose those lessons to other new settlements and also to existing settlements? So these are the evaluations, as you see them, is the evaluation of the Integrated Residential Development Program, which the focus is on outcomes. How have we been able to achieve what we wanted to achieve? Then the evaluation of the urban settlement development grant, the issues is about the processes. Do we have enough manpower? Do they understand what this grant is about? Has the policy, the way that it is written, will it achieve what we want to achieve in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years to come? Have the cities changed the way that they're doing things, because this grant moves from the treasury directly to them? Have they changed the way that they have been doing things? Is this grant, or do they view this grant as just an extension of me, or there are other new things that they are now going to be developing? So the issue also is the asset around urban development that has been found as part of in the diagnostic report. So also the questions, I think I'm not going to go into detail about some of the questions, but the main question that I want to highlight, especially regarding to the Integrated Residential Development Program, is about how has this program changed the way the cities look, which is what we call the morphology of the city. Have they changed how the cities look? Or it's just an extension of the apartheid cities, which is what the diagnostic report is saying. Because we can be able to respond to the diagnostic report and say that we have made some changes, but it's not maybe enough for us to have a bigger impact. And the lessons that we have learned through this program, these are the things that we need to be doing. Next one. Regarding the urban settlement, the evaluation of the urban settlement development grant, the main questions that we are going to be looking at: what are the experiences of the provinces? What are the experiences of the municipalities in implementing this grant, because it's new to them? Also, to what extent has this grant through the Built Environment Performance Plans. As you know, that they are requested to develop the Built Environment Development Plan, Performance Plan, found explicit in the programmatic plan. So, which means then that what has it changed? Is it, are we still focusing on just building houses, or are there other things that we have looked at to ensure sustainability using this USDG? That's what we will be looking at. Thus far, we have had this conversation with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. They have been saying that we agreed that we will just focus for now on the two things. It's not that, however, that those two aspects that we have chosen do not necessarily fully respond to the things that the National Planning Commission have identified. There are still other research pieces that we're going to be looking at. But these two, we felt that we would learn more and be able to respond more if we are just focused on those two. And they have approved that the two departments will then focus on the two and do the evaluation. And then what will happen, then the next phase is that a CHEB memo has been prepared for the evaluations to be presented to cabinet. And it's not only the Department of Human Settlements, it's about there are other departments. So in total there are 8 evaluations that will be presented to cabinet, and an announcement regarding the evaluation will be made by the president. That is as far as these evaluations are concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair, I think it's just important for Dr. Sokopo to indicate that although there's two evaluations that she spoke about, in effect, the department's undertaking 5. So I don't know if you just want to include the 5, and if you could just add or just briefly indicate in the portfolio that the 3 additional that the department is funding in respect of fully responding to what the diagnostic speaks about.
The other 3, one is also looking at informal settlement upgrading, because there's the difficulty that we usually make is that we always claim that we have made changes in the lives of people without actually doing a real scientific evaluation of whether we really have made changes. So what we are attempting to do regarding the informal settlement is to develop a baseline of what the people are right now, and then over the years, then through the upgrading process, then once it's finalized and then they now have shelter and all the basic services and necessary services, then 5 years, 10 years down the line, then an impact evaluation will then be conducted. So with that one, we are going to be looking at their baseline. Then the second one is access to the city. I think if we go back and look at pre-1994, access to the city was restricted, especially particularly to the poor. And that's the reason why now we have the informal settlements that are there, because there was no preparation to accept the poor into the city. So what we want to evaluate is whether through all the policies that we have been able to create access to the city, particularly for the poor people. The third one that we're looking at is issues around assets, and I'm sure that there's a lot of research that has been done by the Department of Human Settlements that argues that we have created assets, that is, all the programs that we have, particularly the housing programs, they are giving assets to the people. So what we are going to be looking at is whether we are actually creating assets, and what form of asset are we creating? Are we creating a social asset? Are we creating an economic asset? Are we creating a financial asset? And as you know, that a social asset is when people view their houses as, this house is going to be inherited by my children, I will never sell it. So even if I move out of that house to the suburb, I will not sell that house. So that's what we mean when we say found also that in a limited way that people are using their houses for economic, as an economic asset, meaning then that they use it to have spaza shops. Some of them have used it to have crashes. So they are trying to derive income from through the houses that have been allocated to them by government. Then the part that is a little bit difficult, that we, in a limited way, also we find that there's not much activity regarding financial assets, meaning that people are not selling, and secondly, people are not using their houses as a collateral, whether they want them to expand or do any or have access to finance by using their houses. So we are trying now to actually create a response, a comprehensive response. Yes, with that one we have pieces of research, so we will then look at those pieces of research and come up with a comprehensive response. So those are the three areas in addition to the two that we will be looking at. However, I do think that the committee can also make some suggestions on what other things that we could look at.
I still maintain, thank you very much. You are not saying anything about consistency. In your evaluation, you know that the HFS is a problem. But in your evaluation, it does not reflect. That is the weakness in the NHO. Lam Jenjo and was my research and the land order and research on it. On the side of the financial aspect in the creation of assets, still, and in a balance, those houses have been sold. Abantu abahlala kwazazuzu, they are not the original beneficiaries. But a challenge, they are sold gesent. So I think you need to balance that. Another comment?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to be very short on the presentation that's been done. I begin to understand that the department actually just want to tell us this is a new monitoring and evaluation system that they are going to use to evaluate and monitor the target that's been set by the department. I think that us as a portfolio committee are well ahead of this process. With what we've done last week, getting together. What I actually want to find out from the department is, with regard to the national spatial framework that the diagnostic report is, the national development plan recommends that human settlements look at a national spatial development framework. And this is a question I'm asking in terms of the fact that at local level, at local government sphere and provincial sphere, we already have a spatial development framework in place. Meaning that, the question is, are you going to link up, is the department going to link up with that process at provincial and at local government, since it is there? And I must actually say that I'm very disappointed in with the fact that we don't have a national spatial development framework. Because the spatial development framework is coming on for years now. And the fact that we don't have one nationally, Chairperson, is maybe
why it is so important, and I appreciate the fact that the department did come at least to tell us how they are going to do things in future. But I want us to concentrate on that and then maybe ask our DDG with regard to the urban rural areas in our country. Will the department please give us a report on where are the urban areas and where are the rural areas? Because very often one would say that, and I think the DDG will remember that we had just a quick discussion around if he would ask me, is Swellendam Dam rural or urban? Then I said, well, I would just probably say it's rural. Then you said that it is urban. So I just think that that concept of understanding the urban versus the rural is maybe important, especially in terms of the urban development, urbanization that we are talking about, that more development is going to happen in urban areas rather than rural areas, so that we can just clear up the maybe the misunderstanding, or that we understand it correctly. I'll leave the next one for later.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to just ask you, in view of the fact that we've got, you know, this massive migration into the cities, in your evaluations, are you also going to be having a look at how sustainable it is, you know, the giving of the free house? I think, you know, that to me, I think that's you know, we're not keeping up, and we're not likely to keep up. That's the reporting that we're getting. I mean, I think it was last week when we're acquiring masses and masses and masses of money. So that would be the one thing. And I would also then like to ask you, in what you are doing now, I would imagine that there is some work. You mentioned that, I mean, there's been a stop, but I mean, in some sense, there must have been some sort of evaluation of the work, you know, that we are doing nothing. Because my big concern is that, and I know we don't want to push the thing, you know, up beyond its process, but it's the long-term sort of thing that we're getting ourselves into here. But it's, you know, delivery on the ground. It's not going to hold up things. Are we going to speed up? Because I think that's one of the things. We want to speed up the delivery. So, you know, that is something. And then the other thing, and again, this must be out of line, but I would think that, you know, sanitation would critically need an assessment and evaluation of where we are with that and where we're going with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. My question is almost the same with a comrade woman's question, which people immigrating to urban areas, because they've got hope that they are going to get after the house. Whenever you ask, you are staying closer to people, to informal settlement. Whenever you ask them, why are you hiding up to areas? They said, we are looking for active houses. No, active houses will be going home, but no, let me take two rooms. So, and you find that, and you have just mentioned that others are not using their own houses. They are making money out of them. Which means, if they are, let's say they are renting themselves, or maybe what I learned about people who are not using their houses. Is there any penalty? And what I don't understand, how does a person get 2 or 3 absentee houses? How does it come? Because once a person, once I got a what is it, from government, if I want to buy a subsidy, once I got a subsidy, once I want to get a subsidy, how does it happen when it comes to
maybe I've been covered by all my colleagues now. It's just an emphasis on it seems as if now the department is more focused on urban areas. There's nothing from your president which says to the rural people, we don't need them to be houses. We need houses for them. There are big one need in them though of houses. No, not necessarily RTP. If maybe we were to tell us that maybe when we talk about our rural people, here is our plan and what the rural, and then I've covered by Comptroller about the sanitation. There's a reason why I said now, even the sanitation issue now is becoming a bit irrelevant to people. I'll go to luckily she came from King William Sanders down. I'll go to Eastern Cape. Before the middle to Agamatole, now it's Papua City. The town is King William Sound. The village is Wamting. People have
well.
saying, yes, urbanization is happening rapidly. How do we address it? Do we densify or do, what do we do? Which model do we go through? And I would also want to touch on the issue that was raised by my colleague here in terms of the issue of the rural-urban divide, which is one of those debates that we're going to have, and I hope that this committee is vocal enough on that one. And he mentioned the one thing about the entities, but those entities fall under the rural household infrastructure grant. I believe that that grant should be one of your focus areas here. It should be one of your focus areas, the rural household infrastructure grant. It's very important. You got to link it up here, because of that grant, in some way, attempts to bridge the divide between the rural and urban divide. So I would like to see the rural household infrastructure grant being put in here to make sure that we address the backlog in as far as rural infrastructure is concerned. Because there's no way we can upgrade these rural areas without first putting basic infrastructure. And that is what we need to do. The issue of assets, is it a question of English semantics when we talk about asset or ownership? Which one is better in terms of what we want to achieve by making sure that people take ownership of the house? Once they take ownership of the house, they feel it as an asset. That's my logic. But if you put it as an asset first, then they don't have ownership. So it might be a chicken and egg type of a question, and depending on how you look at it. But can we have a look at that one? Because if you give people ownership, they will think otherwise about it, seeing it as an asset. Thanks, Chair. I will leave it at that for now.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm going to preface this by saying that I think we need and perhaps the strategic planning session that we said we'll have jointly between the portfolio. Can unpack some of these issues, because I think it's a big issue. But I'll just cover some of the issues in Dr. Kofor. In relation to the types of evaluation, I think it's important that in many respects, for example, in the department, we've got a monitoring and evaluation department. And what the monitoring and evaluation department has been traditionally doing for many is been monitoring the targets. And what we're saying is that where we're sitting now, we're moving beyond that. The diagram gives us an indication of the kind of different evaluations that we need to undertake. It's not about there's the design evaluation, there's the implementation evaluation, and there's the impact evaluation. And that's what those five evaluations want to achieve. So exactly the questions that you as the political representatives, elected representatives, are asking, so that we can go back. And the point is, if there's a need for change or if our programs are adequately responding to that, because some of the issues that we've raised with the NPC in our bilaterals are, well, if you look at some of the issues we've raised, we said we're already responding to some of that. So they speak about, and I put the slide up here, the NPC says revising the housing finance regime, review support to projects in poor locations and prioritize well located. If we wanted to respond to that, Chair, we've done that. We've introduced the USDG. We have the Integrated Residential Development Program. Now the question is, we've got those programs already. The question is, well, somewhere along the line, there's an impression or there's an understanding that it's not hitting the spot or it's not making the developmental impact. Incentivize acquisition of well-located land and support development of public environment needed for. We've introduced the USDG. Part of the USDG responsibility is to be able to look at the issue of acquisition of land. So it funds land, our human settlements development grant funds land. Expand variation of housing types and tenure arrangements. You know yourselves as a portfolio committee, we've got a number of different tenure options in our rental. There's institutional, there's individual tenure, there's sectional title, encourage mixed use development. Those are all there. What we are saying is that if these things are, if these programs are not making the difference that we want to see, if these programs are not, and the two evaluations that we've agreed with you know, that will be jointly funded, is the evaluation of the integrated residential development program, because that sits within the spatial, you know, it's intention, and we can go through it and we can look at it again. One of the intentions of the integrated residential development program was exactly to do that, to change your typologies, to introduce mixed development, to improve better located land acquisition. We've introduced the Housing Development Agency, which is specifically tasked to look at those issues around land. The evaluation of the Urban Settlements Development Grant. One of the primary responsibilities of the Urban Settlements Development Grant is to actually change the spatial plan, the spatial locations and planning and planning decisions that the municipalities take. So it's there and it creates that incentive. What we want to be able to do is, so if people are saying that it's not making the difference, then we need to ask ourselves why. What are those fundamental issues and questions that we need to be able to respond to, which not only the NPC has raised, but this portfolio has raised, the ministers have raised, communities have raised in those. That's it. On the specific issues around the National Spatial Development Framework, I think the Spatial Land Use Management Bill has been introduced into Parliament, and we have inputted on that. We've been working with rural development on that. For in many respects, Chair, we think that it responds adequately, given where we're at the moment. It might not have the correct language and the way that it's framed, but hopefully we can do that. Yeah. Okay. We'll do that. So that has been introduced. We can adequately say that they've covered a substantial amount of human settlements issues. If portfolio committee will come, you can have a look at the bill and you'll see. I mean, it speaks about inclusionary housing. It speaks about exactly the stuff that Member Duncan and Mokalaba have raised in this. So we've always said that, you know, any piece of legislation, any policy is not static. It's not cast in stone. It develops. It evolves. So it will be there. But I think one of the responsibilities that we need to be able to understand, and I think to look in the face, is the ability of municipalities themselves to transform their own municipal space, because town planning remains a municipal responsibility. We provide the funding, and through the USDG we are now trying to respond to that. The fact that human settlement development and residential development get approved in poor locations is a problem for us as well as the national department. But we don't approve them. It gets approved at a municipal level. We provide the program. You provide the program. You provide the funding. But the fact that they get approved in poor locations and poor spatial planning processes, that is a major weakness which we've indicated needs to be addressed at a municipal level. And hopefully we'll do that. On the evaluations regarding the asset creation, one of the questions we want to ask
they get to those houses, economic circumstances made them to sell those houses. The border between 1,000 rand and what they did with me. And then you take an advantage of me. What you are going to attach my son. Secondly, we know there are those people who are corrupt. Other than they must get access with them. But my point is that what do you think that what could be done? Because we can do research and then what could be the plan? The plan might not be to say, no, we're cutting off the grants. I mean, how do we make sure that we sensitize? I think that the issue of campaign, you have a program within the department of consumer education. I think in your response at some stage, you need to consider that. It's very crucial. How are we going to ensure that we strengthen our consumer education? And then together, yourself and us as Parliament, how can we ensure that our communities are well educated on this matter? Because it can be, yes, you have got that responsibility, but what could be our joint effort? So when you can put that proposal on the table and then work together. So I think that issue is very crucial, Honourable Member.
Yes, Chair. I mean,
not MPs, but all public representatives. That includes the councillors themselves.
Yeah, I just want to, I mean, the research and the evaluation that's been will come up with responses as well. So the point about it is, if there's a problem that gets identified, then what is the appropriate policy, legislative, or regulatory response that we need to undertake as the executive? Dr. Sokoko will speak to that. we have to complete it. I mean, she'll give us the time frame on that. But I think, I mean, those are the issues. So yes, the RDP, the selling of the houses and the subsidy, you know, it's a question we need to ask. So is there something that we not doing correctly, or is there an inappropriate? You know, the other issue is that sometimes we give people these assets and then they can't afford the rates and taxes. You know, because they're unemployed, so they can't afford those. So there's a whole range of reasons, and I think that the issue is what we need to do is look at it in a rational and an unemotional manner so that we can focus. I think the point about it is to ensure that poor households get the necessary help and assistance. And I think what we must guard against is people saying that the subsidy is no longer required or the poor don't need assistance. I think we must be very careful because there's some research, for example, in health that comes up and says if you look at, for example, the informal settlements, where the major areas of prevalence of HIV and AIDS is, and it's where poor schooling or learners, the majority of them are, and those, I mean, we have a responsibility and a duty as government and society to respond to those. So that's the other five. On the rural versus urban, Chair, we had that discussion with Member Duncan, and the question is that, for example, if you look at the subsidy, you know, the rural, in our program, when we classify rural, it gets classified once it gets used on a land where communal title gets allocated.
is Swellendam town rural or is it urban? You know, as the town itself, the municipal demarcation, and that's a question. I did it, you know, to provoke the because we need to answer this question. We can't rationally respond to it. We must be able to do that, because then we will find the real responses. Because you see, the issue is, if the issue is about dealing with farm workers, then we need to have that conversation with rural development in terms of how better they utilize our subsidy for rural farm workers. It's the same issue around cooperatives. You know, it's about the tenure issue. Why is cooperatives not being used more? Why is there this reluctance by government, by society, by all of us to want to utilize cooperatives when it creates a development opportunity that we have not yet explored? Is it because we don't have capacity? If we don't have capacity, how do we respond to those? So that's what the diagnostic, I mean, that's what our response is. But it also, I think, I need to guard against, it is some of the issues that the NPC have raised, we've responded to in terms of our programs and all those kind of things. But we must guard against, for example, and I'll take committee members to some of the issues where there's the issue around speaks about radically revise the housing finance system. And we said we want to respond to that, because when you radically revise the response, we must be very careful about the fact that there's downward grading taking place of poor households. You spoke about it, Chair, where it's not about corruption only, but it's where about the rich are taking advantage over the poor by buying up these areas. It's a very good example where you've got sort of more well-to-do citizens going and buying two or three houses in affordable housing spaces, and they rent it out for their retirement. Those kinds of things are happening. You know, it might be good for the individual, but is it good for us as a society? I mean, you know, these are some of the things that we must be very careful that we don't move too fast from the fact that we're still a society that we, as the NPC says, we're still in a nation building, and we're still building our society. We'll get there. I'm sure we'll get there, but eventually we need to. So the downward grading issue and the radically revising the finance system is about this. I don't know, Dr. Thank
you. Yes, Chairperson, I actually hear, if I may just say, Neville, for now. We were going with this discussion. I want, actually, Chairperson, to suggest that we do get to that strategic workshop together with the department, and make it a long enough session for all of us to be able to make contributions and other than just listening. Because when it comes to spatial planning, or when it comes to human settlements, where we focus on ensuring that people do get homes, especially the vulnerable, other than that, also to be able to make available land. Now, the issue for me is always between the environment and planning. Spatial planning always goes and in hand with the environment. Now, currently, we know in our situation in South Africa that we do have valued areas. That is, I mean, it's all taken. The riverbanks are taken, the seafronts are taken, the valuable land is taken with regard to golf estates, places like that. So the land that we actually sit with currently, that is left of what is in the hands of government, let alone how much that is versus private sector. if that is not valued the same as, for instance, the riverbanks and the seafront current established developments. The thing that we must touch on and that we can touch on, and that is just sending that message through to the department, is we need to start to change trends. Because there are areas, because you are in a particular area, you know, you're going to get so much. But if you are in a more richer area, you're going to get that much. So there are certain trends within the economy that has to be looked at the same time. So I just wanted to sort of just say that I do understand. And then when you talk about my concern about the urban rural, is if you look at Soldanha Bay municipal area, what is going to happen to Soldanha Bay municipal area? That area in the next 5 or 10 years, I'm sure, will be looked at maybe from an urban area rather than a rural area because of all the economic injections it's going to have over maybe the next 10 to 20 years in terms of renewable energy, the expansion of the harbour there, the expansion of the iron ore, and many other things that are going to go to that area. So, of course, there's going to be an influx. So, finally, Chief, I just want to say that maybe somehow I'm going to ask whether we can reach a point where we can conclude and focus on the strategic workshop as soon as possible with the department with regard to the diagnostic plan, for us to know how different we're going to look at how the department is going to look at their targets, and then at the end how the evaluation and monitoring of maybe we're going to sit in a better position next year to comment and actually to respond on the department's strategic plan. Thank you, Chair.
Probably, I think I need to first touch where Mr. Cheng has stopped at is issues around the sustainability of the subsidy. We have already undertaken a piece of work where we are looking at how best we can utilize the subsidy. Saying that we are reviewing all the programs and subsidy programs and saying that if regarding the current economic situation and the money that we have and the demand that we that government is currently facing, how best can we utilize the subsidy? So we will be having that piece of work maybe by end June, and that will inform us of. Maybe we need to come up with new programs which are a little bit different from what we have, or better targeted, because it's possible that we are not better targeting. Some of the pieces of research are saying that people are selling simply because we're not better targeting. Also, the systems issue. I think there is work. I think the SOO can also talk about that one. The systems issue. There's work. An attempt to strengthen the HSF, and so I'm not qualified to talk about that much. However, I think the issues around rural development, it's something that we are currently starting to think of, and I think that we accept the suggestion that we need to look more into rural development and the use of indigenous technology with regard to rural development. And that project is something that we have not even started. It's something that we're just talking about, that there must be something that we're doing regarding indigenous technology in rural areas. At the same time, I just want to touch into the issues around the assets. There is a research that was distributed to you, I think, sometime last year, where we were looking at the economic impact of government housing program, unfortunately, I did not make a presentation regarding that. But that document goes into detail and also making a statement that if government was not having the program that it has of assisting the poor to gain shelter, there would be more disaster than we already have, than we currently have. So it is a good program for us, although, yes, that's the reason why, as a follow-up to that piece of research, then we have undertaken a piece of research that says, how best do we then utilize the current subsidy so that we can have better outcomes than we currently have. And also, that piece of research also talks a lot about the issues of assets, and follows that piece of research by another one that talk about the RDP houses and assets. How have people used the RDP housing asset? We only look at houses built from 1994 up to I think 10 years later. And unfortunately, although there's a perception that people are selling, it's only less than 10% of people that are actually selling. And the second part that I think that we need to be looking at maybe is the issue that we want the secondary property market to function. And in order for the secondary property market to function, there should be an activity in terms of trade with property. What is currently wrong is the fact that people have no knowledge of trading in property. And therefore, the empowerment issue has to kick in. And even maybe give some broad framework that says that if you want to trade in property, these are the parameters that in which you can trade. And also even give the indicative prices so that people do not sell a house that this government has built for 120,000 and sell it for 10,000 or 5,000 rand. And also so that there is vibrancy in the property market, because that's what we want, and that's what property economics are telling us, and that's what we want when saying that we want to use housing to contribute towards the economy of the country. We can't have housing contributing towards the economy of the housing if the property market is stagnant. So I think those are some of the choices that we need to make. So what is it that we want? Do you want people to sit in those houses for the next 30 years? Or we want people, as they develop and as they improve their economic status, they can now trade the RDP house now to an affordable house. And so on and so on. I think the issues around the special issues have already been responded to. I think the HFS one, unfortunately, I'm not qualified to respond.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair.
Chair,
as part of the process, the department is undertaking a business intelligence process to look at a more streamlined, effective, transversal system linking the IT system, so it's more responsive, but also to improve on the accuracy and the data and the sort of better reporting in relation to that, but also to look at the ability and look at the functionality of some of the issues related to the subsidy. So how does that inhibit households from gaining access, but also in relation to some of the other issues around approval, and how does that help the delivery? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Navin and your team. I think, as we have already, it has already been alluded that we need to have a discussion. So remember last year we had a discussion towards, we had a workshop towards the end of the financial year in 2010. I think if you can also move from that, regular that session and evaluate, because we never had an evaluation of that workshop, but we need to have that session. And you have the budget, you know.
Budgeted for an injection of yourself. So
okay.
As long as you get a date.
Okay.
So, okay. I thank you very much, honorable members, for the interaction. It was very good. Your participation was very worthwhile. For now, we are going to break, and then we prepare our